Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Truth to Power podcast, the podcast where we bring to you happenings in and around Nigeria, especially amongst the persecuted minority groups and Christian groups around Nigeria. My name is Ehis Agbon. Last week on the program, we featured the history of persecution in Nigeria and, of course, got some historical background to it. But this week, we will be looking at a particular community in Southern Kaduna that roughly two years ago, on the 24th of July, 2021, there was a major attack there that resulted in so many casualties, and we'll be getting an update from there. But before we do that, we'll quickly go to Jos, Plateau State, where we have Masara Kim standing by to give us an update in respect of the security situation there as it affects those that are persecuted. That I'm talking about the minority group. Masara Kim, you are welcome to Truth to Power.
Right, thank you, Ehis. And it's great to see you again. And it's also great to meet members of the audience. Talking about what is happening in Plateau State right now, I think at this moment, as I speak, there are close to 30 communities, or more than 30 communities actually, located between 25 to 30 miles south of Jos, the capital of Plateau State, that are at the risk of terror attacks any moment from now, precisely from tomorrow, the 22nd of July, 2023, to possibly the 23rd and going, you know. So we have credible intelligence giving us reports to the effect that terrorists from as far as Zamfara, Katsina, Nasarawa, and even the states of Bauchi, which are neighboring, you know, the states of Gombe and other parts of the northeast where Boko Haram, ISWAP and other insurgents have, you know, wreaked havoc on Christians, you know, are planning to join forces with local Fulani extremist Islamic militias to launch attacks on Christian communities in Plateau State. And these communities, like I said, are located precisely between 25 to 30 miles south of Jos, and one of the major targets of these attacks is the local government of Mangu, which has seen a series of terror raids leading to more than 200 deaths since the 16th of May. So these terrorists are hoping to carry out what our sources regard as the mother of all invasions, the mother of all village raids, so to speak, to ensure that this mentioned out Kombun, talking about Mushere, talking about Bwai, talking about Kerang, Pushit, and a host of others in that axis, and some others on the, you know, in the neighboring Barkin Ladi local government and Riom are completely annihilated, and they are more than 200,000 residents completely wiped out. And possibly those who survive would not have no home to call their own. So they would possibly be displaced, and as many as the terrorists can get will be killed based on the intelligence gathered. In the last 48 hours, there have been a series of attempts to carry out attacks or to carry out mass killings in the southwest of Jos, particularly in the Riom County, in the Riom local government. But civilian guards, volunteer civilian guards, citizen guards, those we call locally here as vigilantes, have been very relentless and courageous in fighting off these attacks, usually with homemade single shots guns and hunting rifles, which are usually in no way comparable to, you know, the assault rifles and sometimes machine guns that the terrorists attack with. And by the way, these terrorists usually attack in groups of 200, 300 to 500, and even as much as 1,000, you know, sometimes. And these volunteer groups, these self-defense groups, are usually comprised of between 20 to 30 members. But then again, they are strong enough to be able to hold off an attack. They are courageous and efficient enough to be able to delay an attack to enable the aged and women and children to evacuate, and sometimes, you know, at least hold them off until the military can arrive. So this is what we have seen in the southwest of Jos, in the Riom local government, particularly in where areas of the communities of Wereng, Rim, and the surrounding villages, you know, where vigilantes have successfully repelled, you know, large bands of armed terrorists, you know. But then again, on Thursday, an attempt at a place called precisely in actually Wereng, in the Wereng community, the vigilantes actually did their best, but they lost two members who were shot, you know, by an initial terrorist fire while they were standing guard, while they were keeping watch. Definitely after receiving advance warnings of attacks from Truth Nigeria. So I can say that without Truth Nigeria doing, you know, what it's doing to keep communities aware and enlightened about plans by terrorists to carry out attacks, the damage could have been more than the two that were recorded. So we believe that even with the terror alerts that Truth Nigeria has published in the last 48 hours, a lot of locals and communities, Christians particularly, are already bracing for these attacks and are doing their best to ensure that they stay alive and these terrorists do not have a field day as it used to be in the past when this information used to be unavailable to them.
All right, thank you so very much, Kim Masara, for the update that you just gave us. And for the viewers and listener, you recall on the last edition of the program, he gave us a security alert in respect of imminent attacks in some specific communities. And unfortunately, all of those attacks happened just the way he said they were going to happen. And we believe that with this update and the ones that we'll still get in respect of the ones of the coming week, we should all be prepared to protect and defend ourselves all of the time. You are still listening to Truth to Power, a podcast where we look at happenings in and around Nigeria and, of course, looking out for the persecuted minority groups and how they can overcome all of these. 2 years ago, an attack happened in Zikpak in southern part of Kaduna. And we'll be giving you an update now in respect of that attack. But this to remind you that you can also get updates on Nigeria if you go to Truth Nigeria. It's a website where you get the latest information and give you up to date. And you also get security alerts and all of that. So I encourage everybody to go to www.truthnigeria.com. truthnigeria.com, and you'll be able to get up-to-date news there, and also share the links with people so that they can get information about Nigeria. And when we're talking about information, we're talking about truthful information. Let's go over now to southern part of Kaduna, Zikpak, where they will give us an update in respect of the attack that happened 2 years ago, how it happened, and where we are now. Over to you.
Yes, the attack that happened at Zikpak 2 years ago, it happens in the evening where activities are going on in that very evening. Before we understand, we started hearing some gunshots on the air. So everybody gets scared and try to escape for his life, because normally here in southern Kaduna, we do know that whenever you hear a gunshot, you save yourself by running away.
Because now, who are those that have consistently come to attack? Do you people have an idea of their identity?
Yes, from all the information we have gathered and from all the seeing that we are seeing whenever they come to attack, and from all the languages they speak, we do understand that these people are Fulani herdsmen.
Okay, Fulani herdsmen. Are they coming there to rustle your cattle or pillage your farm product? Or why exactly would they always come to attack? What is the problem or the issue?
Yeah, we are having a problem with these very people by from farming issue, because there are times that these people, whenever they are wearing their cars, they do send their cars. When you farm, they will not push their cars, their cattle, everything inside your farm. They will eat your product, and then you have no say. Whenever you come out to open up and express how you're feeling and to express your feelings, then you have issues with them even right there in the bush, because I don't really understand. They do have this license of holding their machete. A Fulani man, you see him with machete, even in the bush. Even when he is in public, you see him with a machete. Even when he is in public, you see him with a stick. So we do not understand. They have that very guaranteed license in here in Nigeria, and you are seeing that here in Southern Kaduna. Okay. Whenever he sends his cattle inside, when you open your mouth to talk, he brought out that machete to threaten your life. Then when any action you took on him, it will now revive back. Because when you got angry, you beat him up. Because you know how stressful it is to farm. You know how hard it is to farm. You know how hard it is to find something to put in your stomach and settle you and feed your family. Then someone will just come out with his own cartoons, animals, and send them inside to eat your product without you saying a word. Whenever you talk, it becomes a threat. If you beat him up, it becomes a threat. They will tell you that they will go and come back. And these are things we are experiencing here in Southern Kaduna.
Okay, and when they say they will go and come back, what do they mean by they will go and come back?
When they say they will go and come back, definitely they mean they are coming back to have a revenge of that very beating which you have beaten him in the process of him sending his cattle inside your farm. So they are now telling us that we have no say. That is what is happening here.
So when they go and come back, the Zigback attack, was it as a result of they will go and come back, or what exactly led to that?
Yeah, the Zigback attack, it happens before they come. There is a letter they sent. They do normally have that ghost to send a letter and tell you the chief community, they will tell him that they are coming. You people should get prepared. We are coming to attack you guys. And when we come, we are going to kill and destroy you all. You people should be prepared. They do normally send letters, not one, not even only as a part. Even the incident that happened at the Kundaji, close by to Zipat, it happens like that, they sent letters. Even the incident that happened at Masirga, close by, as Zango Katav local government, they do send letters. So they're treating us with letters, and they will tell you that they are coming. Definitely expect them. If they do not come today, they will come tomorrow. And when they come, they will come with machineries. You had them on a federal road where we have the police, where we have the soldiers, where we have the civil defense, we have all the security agencies on the road by. But we don't know where these people have the guts. You see them on bikes. You see machines, like about 300 machines invading in an area. How will you survive this? Okay. You see about 100 machines invading an area, two of them, with my AK-47. How will you survive it?
So when they come, do they come with still their sticks and their machete, or how? How do they carry
they
out
don't this come attack? They carry out their operations with AK-47. They carry out their operations with AA rifle. They carry out their operations with bombs, because we experience bombs in Southern Kaduna.
Okay.
That's how they carry out their operations. They come with machete. When they shoot you, you do not die. So there are people that follow back and then cut. They will pieces you, cut your head, remove your leg, or remove your hand, cut any part of you. They kill small children. A woman with pregnancy, they shoot and kill her. They will shoot a woman with pregnancy, cut her into pieces, and they remove the baby and kill. We are experiencing all of that here in Southern Kaduna.
During the last attack, how long did it take for security agents to come to your rescue?
Yeah, during the last attack that we had here, it took us, and I think the last attack that we had, it was at Mararaba Kaguru, where they come down to that very junction. It is a junction where we have a lot of shops. Even in the night, people do their sales. activities do go on every day there till 12 o'clock because it is a junction where you have a car to go to Jos, where you have a car to go to Gidanwaya, where cars do come to park passengers to Lagos. So these people, during the last attack, it took about 2 hours to 30 minutes before they came to our rescue.
Okay, 2 to 2 hours, 30 minutes. 2 hours or 2 hours, 30 minutes. But on a good day, what's the distance between that point and where the security men are?
Not less than 2 kilometers away from Mararaban Kagoro to police checking point.
Okay, which normally shouldn't take more than 10 minutes drive, normally.
Not less than 5 minutes ride, right? Okay. 5 minutes ride.
And on this particular day, it took them over 2 hours to get that done. Okay, now, with all of the attacks that have happened so far, what is the government doing to provide some level of soccer and assistance for the areas that were attacked?
Yes, what the government are doing is what we are still waiting to hear a response from the government, because during the attack that happened at Zikpak, there are a lot of houses that were burned. There are a lot of casualties. Most of them are hustlers. And when we come to check on it, most of the affected victims are women and children. The government are not yet doing anything. We are expecting a lot from the government, because a compensation given to you by the government, 50,000 naira compensation is not enough. 100,000 compensation from the government is not enough for you to repair your house, to renovate your house, or to start up a business, or to start buying or to buy things that were burned by these very invaders. So the government are, though, during the attack, they do provide palliatives, but the palliatives are not really what we expected from them. They are not up to that.
Okay, the government did not do reconstruction of buildings that were destroyed?
There is no any reconstruction of a building. They don't do that. The only thing that they do when things like this happen, they try to say that they will compensate you. And you may see a senator come with boarding school mattresses, buckets, and have a small bag of rice and other things like this, saying they're sharing to people. After then, you will not see anybody again. So the government are not doing any reconstruction of any building.
Okay, now, what would be your call out to the government in respect of all of these attacks?
My call out to the government is that government should really try hard to see how they are going to tackle the insecurity that is happening right here in Southern Kaduna, because we are seeing a lot. Things that we do see in movie is what we are seeing physically and in reality. I call on the government to set up a very tight security. What should I say? I call on the government to set up a tight security meeting and a good security network so that things will go well. Because for these people to tell us that they are coming to attack us and eventually they will come and attack us, it is a blow. I think it is a slap to us, the civilians, and to us, the civilians in Nigeria. Because when we talk of we being the civilians here in Nigeria, we're in democracy, but we don't have a say as a civilian. Only the military people that have a say. So we are now depending on them to set up a very good security network so that things will go right. Because these people will come with AK-47 and you with a weapon that if you shoot one, you have to run away and have a place to hide, to reload again for you to defend yourself and your family. When you may see 3 people in your house with AK-47, how will you protect your family? How will you protect the people inside your house? How will you even protect yourself with one gun? With the one gunshot, you have to run again and reload. It's not going to work. We urge the government to open up and to give us a free access so that we should have, even if you cannot be able to have AK-47, but if you can be able to have it on your own, we beg for the government to give us this very license so that we can be able to defend ourselves. Even if it's not AK-47, if we have bow arrows, at least we can defend ourselves. Whenever these people come in and then they see that this is what is going on, they're attacking us, we're attacking them back, they will not come back again. When we have these challenges, I think things will come very slow and easy. Talking about our primary healthcare centers and the infrastructure of roads,
And I urge the government to look into it, because here in Southern Kaduna, we have a lot of primary schools that are not in order. We have a lot of primary health care that are not in order. You may see a primary health care that has been built for 6 years has not been renovated after 10 years. There are no good facilities. There are no good facilities here. I urge the government to see into that and then find a way to help us. Most importantly, what I beg the government for is to help us so that when we have life, we have a seat. But when we don't have a life, we have no seat. We beg them to help us by providing items, by providing minor weapons so that we shall protect ourselves whenever these invaders came to invade us.
All right. Thank you so very much. I will now come to King Masara to give a party shot and your final security advice. Masara King.
All right. Thank you so much, Ahis. And I'd like to add to what our contact from the Kaduna Axis has said about what the government needs to do. This is actually a very critical moment in the lives of every Nigerian. The government of former President Muhammadu Buhari laid the foundation of complete bias against Christians and complete neglect to the plight of Christians, and in fact a consistent persecution of Christians. It created a social investment program, an equivalence unemployment package, you know, that is obtained in the United States, you know, but that program only benefited people, you know, it chiefly benefited citizens who identify as Muslims. Christians never benefited from that. So no food for them. And of course, you know, the little that Christians are able to gather, the terrorists destroy them in their food, and they destroy their homes and their food crops that they have stored in their barns, and even the crops that are in their farms, they destroy them. And that is still happening up to this moment. Presently, there is an unprecedented hike in gas prices, and there is also an unprecedented inflation. Now, this is affecting many Christians, particularly those in the rural areas, who by the way, cannot even go to their farms without the fear of being attacked. And of course, their crops are increasingly being mowed down by terrorists who still, you know, in the daytime, and I mean in the nighttime, come to attack them in their sleep. Right. So all eyes are on President Bola Ahmed Tinubu to see what kind of president he is going to be. Whether he's going to continue with the legacies of persecution, of bias, of complicity that former President Muhammadu Buhari left behind, or he's going to set a new standard. And we are watching him. Initially, Christians had the fear that him coming as a Muslim and also having a Muslim running mate was going to continue the legacy of marginalization of Christians and also persecution of Christians. And if he continues with the way he is responding to the attacks that we have seen in the last couple of months that he has been in office, and the continued attempt to change the narrative of the genocide that's going on to the so-called claims of climate change and farmer herder clashes, then he would be heading to the same position as the former president who left office with the worst records of persecution against Christians and ethnic minorities in Nigeria. And that would also be pushing Nigeria to its former position of course, it is still the worst place for Christians to practice, you know, their faith in the whole world. And I think that his goal should be to get Nigeria out of that and put it on, you know, the map, you know, in the Committee of Nations, right? So, but in the meanwhile, Christians in Plateau State and other terrorized communities can stay alive and can, you know, stay safe from terror raids, you know, by first of all, staying within the confines of their residences, you know, at critical hours, especially when it gets dark, and never to, you know, stay out in the streets or in open lights, especially when it gets to nighttime, particularly those who love to relax and who love to unwind, you know, at evenings. These are not time for merriments, you know, so stay away from relaxation centers, you know, and you know, beer parlors, food restaurants and all of that, you know, at night times, and always adhere, you know, to any security advice that is given. Beware of conspicuous and unusual movements around you, and always ensure that in the event that you hear a gunfire, do not panic, right? And make sure that first of all, you try to establish the direction from which it is, you know, coming from, you know, and make a decision with a calm mind, because in most cases people die while running, you know, from away, thinking that they are running from, you know, the direction of gunfire, but actually in the recent of it, they run into you know, more danger. So you establish from, you know, establish where it's coming from, and then make a calm decision on what to do, whether you want to take cover first of all and hide, or you want to run. But before you can always you can think of running, always make sure that there is a safe route.
Yes, that's about the size of the program today. We want to sincerely thank everybody that contributed to the program, most especially Masara came all the way from Jos Plateau State, giving us regular security updates on the program, and also not forgetting our contributor also from Zikpa in Jama'a local government area of Kaduna State, that southern part of Kaduna, and giving us updates in respect of the attack that happened some 2 years ago and where we are today. Well, the program Truth to Power is a regular feature right here. And of course, on the program, we'll give you updates on the persecuted minority communities in Nigeria. Of course, we also encourage you to go visit the website of Truth Nigeria. That's www.truthnigeria.com, and you get the latest updates in respect of security situation in the country. And not forgetting giving you up-to-date news, factual news, news, of course, that you can use. My name is Ehis Adnan, like always, and as I leave you, I'll tell you, this program is proudly supported by Truth Nigeria. Until next time, we'll be on again for another program. Remember, security is everybody's business. When you hear something, say something.